Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, we welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today, and wherever you're listening in Stand in the Gap territory, we welcome you to the program, and we have got an action-packed program today, and we're going to get into all of that momentarily, but again, let me remind you, Sam Rohr is away today, Dr. Gary Dahl is away today, and they will be joining us again on Friday. Tomorrow for the program, but for today, they're in the state of Iowa conducting some vitally important business for the American Pastors Network. And tomorrow, I'm sure we'll have a little bit of conversation in the opening segment about some of that. So I would encourage you to continue your prayers for them that they will arrive home safely either later this afternoon or early this evening. Well, we want to talk today a little bit about the persecution of Christians, not just around the world, but more specifically inside the United States of America. We have a special guest, a very special guest, a gentleman that I've known for, I'm guessing now, close to 18 years. We have been involved in ministry together, and I'll introduce him in just a little bit. But let me just kind of set the stage for where we're going to go today. I want to back up to May the 9th of 2013. I don't know how many of you will remember this, but it was a hot item in the news. And I'm referring, of course, to the press conference that was held by the families of Navy SEALs who were killed in a helicopter crash, actually a helicopter shootdown in the country of Afghanistan. And there was something that was done with those Navy SEALs' bodies in Afghanistan at the Bagram Air Force Base. They conducted what's called a ramp ceremony. It's a ceremony that's held on the ramp there as their bodies are being loaded onto an airplane. And the families of those Navy SEALs, when they found out what happened, were beyond irate. And I'll be honest with you, I can more than understand why they would be, because here's what happened. A press conference was held by those families at which the families made this statement, and I quote, "The military brass prohibited the mention of any Judeo-Christian deity and invited a Muslim cleric to the funeral who disparaged in Arabic the memory of those servicemen, damning them as infidels to Allah." Now, I don't know how many of you will remember this, but again, what happened is at this ramp ceremony, no Judeo-Christian representation was allowed. There was no reference made. There were no chaplains allowed that would make reference to the Judeo-Christian God. But instead, because it was in the country of Afghanistan, which, of course, is predominantly a Muslim country, a Muslim cleric was invited to speak. And of course, he spoke in Arabic. No one there that didn't understand Arabic knew exactly what he was saying. But all of his comments were later translated. And when those translations were made public to the families, that cleric actually damned to hell the Navy SEALs that had been shot down in that helicopter crash. Of course, the families were, again, very, very upset, understandably so. And friends, I want to ask you a question. What is going on within the United States military that young men who evidently come from a Judeo-Christian background were not allowed at the ramp ceremony where they're being honored and remembered for their service to the country? What is up in America that they were not allowed to have a Christian chaplain present? That was 2013, May the 9th. Let's advance forward now just a little bit. Hot in the news over the last number of days. In fact, in the last 4 to 5 days is this story about Lance Corporal Manifa Sterling. She is the Lance Corporal that at her workstation on her computer, she had taped the following verse of scripture from Isaiah 54, verse 17, which simply says this, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." You'll remember, if you're familiar with the story, that one of her superiors came by and said, "You must remove that, because if anyone else who happens to share this cubicle, share your desk, share this computer, or even anybody walking by and sees that verse of scripture, they might potentially be offended." Well, what Ms. Sterling did was she said, "No, I will not remove it. It is my First Amendment religious liberty that allows me to have this verse of scripture here on my computer. I do not have to check my Christianity in at the door to be able to have this verse of scripture on my computer." So she refused to remove it. She was ultimately court-martialed because she would not take down that simple phrase, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And of course, what's happened as a result is the case has now been picked up by Liberty Institute. Our dear friends there, Kelly Shackelford, Jeff Matera, and others are defending Manifa Sterling and basically trying to get her reinstated back into the military and undo this court-martial. Again, I want to ask the question, what is going on in America that allows our men and women in uniform not to be able to display a verse of scripture in their private workspace or even in a public space if that is what they believe and this is their sincerely held religious belief? Let's go back again to 2013. The man's name is Philip Monk. He was a senior master sergeant, and if you'll remember, he was actually fired. He was dismissed from the military. Again, a court-martial situation because he expressed a difference of opinion with his superior over the topic of homosexuality. In fact, he had made a statement in some class that he taught about the topic and then was asked specifically by his senior, his boss, the gentleman that was his superior, about it. And Mr. Monk expressed his position because he was encouraged to do so by his superior. And, of course, that ultimately resulted in him being dismissed from the military. Also, let's back up just a few weeks back to May the 7th at the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C. Major General Craig Olson was giving a testimony prior to leading in prayer for the military. And, friends, if you've never been at the National Day of Prayer, it is a phenomenal, phenomenal event. This past year, I was not able to be there, but for the 5 years prior, I've been in attendance. It's an amazing thing. And there's always a time in the course of the day where they have someone from the military speak briefly, and then that individual is the one that's invited to pray specifically for our men and women in uniform, that God will grant them protection. And this year, Major General Craig Olson was the gentleman who was selected. And in the course of his brief remarks, he thanked God several times for his success in the military. He referenced the fact that it was not him that in his own strength that had succeeded in the military, but rather it was God that had given him the ability. Immediately after that testimony, that those brief comments were made public, the cries began from a number of locations for him to be court-martialed because he violated, quote-unquote, the separation of church and state by bringing God into the equation at the National Day of Prayer. Friends, this is a religious gathering. It is a gathering that is decades old where God is acknowledged and prayers are petitioned and submitted to the God of heaven. And Mr. Olson just was thanking God. Of course, he was in uniform. And of course, the reason for the calls for him to be court-martialed is because the statements are that he was representing the military and he should have kept his personal beliefs out of it. And so they're calling for his court-martial. Again, there are Christian legal entities that have picked up his case and are defending him and defending him in a very good way. Now, when we come back from our break, I'm going to introduce a special guest, a dear friend of mine. We're going to talk about more of this. And my friend is going to share an incident that happened with him, specifically with him, that factors into this ongoing persecution, discrimination against Christians within the United States of America. So again, this is Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, and for Dr. Gary Dull and Sam Rohrer, I say stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments after these special messages.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There's legislation proposed in Harrisburg that would shrink the size of our legislature, which is one of the largest in the nation, by cutting back on the number of senators and representatives. Now, perhaps another reform that would be helpful would be to shorten the length of the legislative session. Right now, our General Assembly is in session year-round, one of only 11 states that do that. Contrast that, for example, with Texas, a state larger than ours in land and population, where the legislature only meets every other year, and only for a limited 4.5 months. Somehow they seem to get things done with those limits in place and save the taxpayers money at the same time. Plus, limiting our sessions would reduce the number of full-time special interest lobbyists at the Capitol, and that's a good thing, too.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. Sign up for free email alerts at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. And for Dr. Gary Dole and Sam Rohr, this is Dave Kistler. And again, if you're just tuning in, I want to remind you Dr. Gary and Sam are away today. They'll be back tomorrow for Friday's edition, Phone In Friday, and look forward to talking with him. But for today, you've got me and my special guest, and I want to introduce him very quickly if I can, and we're going to chat a little bit. Chris Edwards is my friend's name. Chris and I have known each other for about 18 years or thereabouts. Chris, for 15 years, worked on the staff at a church in the Northwest United States. He has worked as a board member at a wonderful camp in the Northwest United States, a camp that I've been associated with for probably in excess of 30 years. And for about 15, 18 years of those 30 years, Chris has been a part of this same camp. What What I appreciate about Chris, among a lot of things, is this. Chris has worked with our ministry, Hope Ministries International, our crusade ministry, for about, I'm guessing, 15 years or thereabouts. We've conducted numbers of crusades in Washington, D.C. We've been invited into the Pentagon. Chris has been a vital part of all of that. He actually put together and assembled our discipleship booklets that we give to all new converts that trust Christ as Savior in one of our crusades. So all of that should let you know that I have great respect for this gentleman. I love him dearly and appreciate him so very, very much. And so, Chris, with that introduction, let me just say welcome to Stand in the Gap today. It's a delight to have you aboard.
Well, good morning, Dave, or should I say good afternoon to you with the time difference out here on the West Coast. But thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Well, Chris, it's a delight to have you aboard. And, yes, it is a three-hour difference. You're out on the West Coast, but I appreciate you calling in. Listen, I want to talk to you just a little bit in general before we get into the specific situation that that happened to you very, very recently.
Sure.
You know, Chris, you're a student of the Scriptures. You're also a student of history, of the Constitution. Talk to me a little bit just from your own perspective and from your own heart. What do you think is going on in the United States of America with all these examples of discrimination against Christians, whether it be in the military, whether it be in the workplace? I've got numbers of others that I'm going to reference here in just a little bit. But what do you think is going on with all of this change of attitude, persecution, discrimination, at the very least, against Christians in America?
Well, it's, of course, as you know, for some time, it's been getting crazier by the day out there with what people are doing. Christians have been accused for many years of being discriminatory, and now we're the ones being discriminated against in our biblical beliefs. But it seems like to me there's, it's not just about church or religion, but it's a direct attack upon the Bible, God's word, which is interesting that it's what our country was founded on, and it's almost an attack against the good morals taught in the Bible, and it's just getting pretty scary out there with all the attacks going on against Christians and those that believe the Bible.
Well, Chris, let me give you an example of what we're talking about. And of course, this is these are things that have happened within the last 24 months, the last 2 years. There's a ministry in Florida that for 31 years, this Christian ministry has been providing food to the hungry in Lake City, Florida, without any problems. But that all changed when they said a state government worker showed up to negotiate a new contract. Now, let me explain what's going on. The USDA, which is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, provides food, and then that food was given to this Christian ministry. This Christian ministry would distribute it. By the way, I just participated in something very similar to this through our own ministry here in North Carolina. Anyway, the state agricultural department official told them that they would not be allowed to continue receiving USDA food unless this Christian ministry removed portraits of Jesus, the Ten Commandments, a banner that read Jesus is Lord, and they also had to stop giving Bibles to the needy. Of course, the Christian ministry refused to do any of that. But, you know, Chris, I mean, that's absurd. This is a Christian ministry on their own property taking food that is being provided by the Department of Agriculture, giving it to the needy, a faith-based organization, which is the place where really this should be taking place. It's the most natural place for it to occur is through a faith-based organization, and yet they're being told you've got to remove any reference to Jesus, the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, as you said earlier, and you cannot give Bibles. What do you think?
It's we're living in days where evil is becoming good and good is becoming evil. It's just outrageous what is happening, and I don't know if obviously Satan's hard at work at the top leadership levels down to try to destroy the foundations of our country and the biblical foundations and heritage that we have. I think a lot of people are ignorant to that biblical foundation and the morals that we have been taught, many of us, since our youth, and which has made this country great. And I think there's obviously an agenda by those on the left side to tear down anything biblical and good and right. It's just amazing what we're seeing all across the country.
Well, Chris, let's do this. We're about 3 minutes away from the bottom of the hour hard break. set up the situation that happened to you out there in the Northwest. I understand in addition to all your work in the ministry, Chris, you have recently become a Gideon, and you are distributing some Bibles outside of school. So take just a couple of minutes. We'll go into the break, then we'll come back and talk more about it. But set up what happened to you specifically.
Well, Dave, being out of the ministry full time now for a few years, I've had a great burden to do something for the Lord in a greater way. And a man approached me in the church a few months ago about becoming a Gideon. And at first, I didn't think much about it. But as I prayed and thought more about it, it seemed like the Lord would have me to become part of the Gideons. You cannot be in full time ministry and be a pastor to be a Gideon. So I qualified because I've been out of the ministry full time for some years now. And so anyway, I became a Gideon, and most people sometime in their life have received a Gideon Bible, whether it was in school or at a hotel. And so the Gideon ministry is well known around the world. They have been around since the early 1900s, and they just in April have given out their 2 billionth scripture since starting in the early 1900s. 2 billion copies of the Word of God have been printed and handed out by the Gideons, and there's about 200,000 Gideons around the world in 200 countries. So a huge ministry that has been stable, and most people know about it. And one of the things we do is a local Gideon group is once a year, we go around and hand out Bibles to all the middle schools and high schools in the area. And it's done very professionally. The men go into the school before we show up. Usually we show up right before school gets out. They'll go in, tell them that we're there and what we're doing. And then we have little New Testaments that have been printed up and designed to give out to kids at schools. And then we stand out there as they're getting out and try to hand out Bibles to kids and to teachers and to adults, whoever would take one. And so that is a situation that we were involved in a little over a week ago now.
Chris, let me ask you this, because we're about a minute away from having to take a break. When you say you go into the schools, do you go in and of course let the administration know that you're going to be there giving out the Bibles, but you don't actually give out the Bibles in the school building or in the school facility. You do that from the sidewalks outside. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We just send one of our leaders in to let them know we're there. It's a common courtesy. We really don't have to do that. But we'd like to do that, just let them know who we are, especially with all the things going on today. And, yes, and then we go out and we stand out on the public sidewalk and hand out Bibles.
Well, friends, we're going to be talking with Chris just a little bit more about all of this after the break. But as Chris said, the Gideons have been around literally for decades, and they have done a phenomenal job distributing the scriptures, and this is something that has been the norm in the United States of America from as far back as I can remember. And so we're going to be talking more about that in just a moment. Chris, hang on just a second. I want to mention one other example of Christian discrimination or targeting of Christians. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, within the last 15 to 18 months, was targeted by the IRS. And those officials with BEGA have said this: we were targeted and the IRS attempted to intimidate us. Franklin Graham, the president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the Family's International Humanitarian Organization, Samaritan's Purse, said that the IRS notified them in September of last year that it was conducting a review of their activities for the tax year 2010. Now, this is the official statement made by the Graham organization. Quote, while these audits not only wasted taxpayer money, they wasted money contributed by donors for ministry purposes, as we had to spend precious resources servicing the IRS agents in our offices. I believe that someone in the administration, speaking of the Obama administration, was targeting and attempting to intimidate us. This is morally wrong and unethical. Indeed, some would call it un-American. Now, friends, again, we're talking with Pastor Chris Edwards from the Northwest United States. We'll be having a further conversation with him after the break. But our discussion is the persecution, the discrimination against Christians in the United States of America. Friends, this is a vitally important topic, and I want to encourage you to come back after the break as we'll be talking more about this specific incident and what happened as a result of the distributing of Bibles outside a middle school in the northwestern United States of America. Again, for Sam Rohr and Gary Dole, this is Dave Kistler. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Come back right after these messages.
Girls' Day Out alert. Make plans to attend the Lancaster Women's Expo Saturday, May 30th from 9 to 2 p.m. at Millersville University. Health and wellness, shopping, demonstrations, fashion update, technology, and giveaways make for a must-attend event. There is no entry fee, so come on out and plan on having a great time. Go to agreatwaytospendmyday.com for more information.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Former New York Governor George Pataki announcing his run for president and wasting little time criticizing Hillary Clinton.
We are the party of the middle class. Unless by middle class they mean someone who left the White House dead broke and 10 years later had $100 million.
Pataki this morning in Exeter, New Hampshire, the eighth declared GOP candidate so far. Residents of about 300 homes in Wharton, Texas, being asked to leave due to a flood risk. The Colorado River likely cresting at about 45 feet tomorrow night or early Saturday. Meantime, in suburban Houston, the San Jacinto River already above flood stage.
When it dumps 10 inches of water on, you know, in the city in 2 hours, I don't think any city can take that, really.
Houston business owner Chris Shepard, at least 17 storm-related deaths in Texas so far, 7 in Houston. Fox News, we report, you decide.
In Psalm 62, King David says, "Truly my soul waits upon God, and from him comes my salvation." He says, "God only is my rock, my security, my defense, and because of this, I can remain steadfast and confident in times of trouble." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As we look around this nation, we witness evil and persecution increasing against God's people, just what David saw. People were plotting mischief against each other, conspiring against God and trampling the truth. Rulers were lying and hypocritically flattering in public, but cursing in private. But David said, "Take heart. Men of such character are vanity and self-deceived, and God will reward them accordingly." In such times, David says, "Trust in God at all times. Pour out your heart before him, for he is our refuge." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you if you can say with David, "Power, authority, and blessing belong to God. My soul waits upon him. My expectation comes from him."
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, and our guest today is Chris Edwards. He is a former pastor from the west coast of the United States and more recently has become a Gideon. And right before we took the break, Chris was sharing with us that very recently he, along with several other Gideons, had gone to a middle school in the northwest United States, had informed the administration that they were there, and at the end of the school day, we're going to stand on the sidewalk outside the school and hand to these young people, at least offer to them, a copy of the New Testament, which has been done by the Gideons for literally decades. And Chris, you guys run into some problems as you were doing that. Share with our listening audience exactly what happened.
All right, Dave. Well, as I said before the break, it's custom for the Gideons to go out and hand out Bibles at schools. And our camp here in the Northwest that I'm involved with went out last week to a middle school here in our town, and as custom, went in to let them know we were there and what we were doing. And then we each spread out along the public sidewalk, which we have our legal right to do. Our First Amendment right is still works, I believe. And each of us, as a matter of fact, carry a letter from a lawyer representing the Gideons that describes and talks in there about our right to stand on a public sidewalk and hand out the scriptures. So we proceeded to where I was stationed, was right where the cars would pick up the kids and leave the school property. And right away you could sense the animosity and like the attitude of who are you and what are you doing here. Right away the atmosphere was like that as kids came out, and I began to hand out Bibles. Probably half of the kids would not even take a Bible.
Chris, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to capitalize on this point before we move on. You said you begin to experience or begin to sense an attitude towards you. Was that attitude coming from the young people themselves? Was it coming from adults in the area, or was it a combination of both? Or I mean, where were you getting that feel from?
I would say it was a combination of both, but more the parents as they would drive by. I mean, you heard the old saying, if looks could kill, I would have been dead several times. And so it was more from the parents, but kids, a lot of the kids were reluctant, maybe didn't know who we were and what we were doing. But it was more from the adults that I experienced myself.
Okay.
The animosity, and just one man stopped right there and said, do you have the right to be standing out here handing out this stuff? And I said, yes, sir, I have a legal right to be right here on the sidewalk. And then, of course, he left. But several parents would not even let their kids take a Bible. And I just sensed that the whole time that I was there. And then one gentleman that was part of our group, and most all of us were dressed nicely and were very professional looking. This one gentleman said that a teacher had come out and approached him and yelled at him and told him he shouldn't be there, and actually went and turned him into the principal, possibly claiming that he was a child molester. And
wow.
It was just outrageous. And so he was hardly able to give out any more Bibles because of that incident. And then as we stood along the sidewalk, I noticed the principal and the teacher just eyeing us, watching us the whole time we were there. And now I'm told by the men that I was with, and they do this was my first time, and I told that they experience this kind of thing a lot of times when they go to, and they said the middle schools, this was interesting to me, the middle schools were harder than the high schools.
And, you know, Chris, a number of years ago when I was in Pennsylvania with Dr. Gary Dahl, we stood outside the middle schools and the high schools of a particular town. And we handed out copies of the Ten Commandments. This is something Dr. Gary's done on a number of occasions. And I will have to say this, Chris. I think probably, though it was nothing like what you experienced, I think if we got any kickback whatsoever, probably the greatest kickback came at the middle schools rather than at the high school. Now, I'm going to float an idea why that may be the case. You know, middle schoolers are not they're not as old, obviously, as the high schoolers. They're not, closer to adulthood as a 16, 17-year-old would be. And a lot of times, you're having more parents drop these kids off. And so sometimes, because they're younger, considered maybe a little more vulnerable, a little more susceptible to being influenced. Sometimes maybe that's why that happens. I'm not sure. But anyway, it is tragic. It's absolutely tragic in America that the scriptures, God's word, the Ten Commandments, the name Jesus Christ, values that come from Judeo-Christian belief are treated in this fashion when, as you said earlier, Chris, this was the foundation of our country.
Yes, I would totally agree with what you said about the middle schoolers. I think that the people are so paranoid today because of all the evils that have happened, that even good stuff is being looked at, and people that are trying to do good looked at as suspicious or, you know, possibly a deceptive inroad to cause harm. I mean, there's so many bad religions out there, and as you talk much on your program about ISIS and Islam, I think there's great confusion among a lot of people, and people just don't know the Bible anymore. And so we're having to overcome several hurdles just to get the Word of God into people's hands.
Well, friends, this is Chris Edwards we're talking with today on Stand in the Gap Today. We're going to be talking more about specifically what happened there in the Northwest. But before we do, and before we go to break, I want to just cite one additional example. In 2011, a gentleman by the name of Mark Mackey and another gentleman by the name of Brett Coronado were arrested and charged with misdemeanor offenses for reading the Bible outside a DMV location. Of course, DMV is the Department of Motor Vehicles. Thankfully, August 13 of last year, a Superior Court judge by the name of Timothy Freer found both men not guilty of any offenses. It's very, very interesting that the judge pointed out that the law, prosecutors tried to invoke what was likely unconstitutional. And that law enforcement went overboard to try to stop these guys from reading the Bible in a public place. Again, Chris, what we have is an overreaction on the part of people, yes, either because they don't understand First Amendment religious liberty, or they just have open hostility toward the Word of God, or a combination of both.
Yes, I would totally agree with that.
Chris, let me ask this, and I'm just posing a hypothetical question. If rather than the scriptures were being read, or if rather than New Testaments from the Gideons were being handed out, look into your crystal ball. You're from the Northwest United States. It's a little more liberal area of the country. Yes. What if a couple of Muslims were reading the Quran outside a DMV, or what if Muslims were handing out verses from any of the various sunnahs, the chapters of the Quran, handing that out? Do you think they would necessarily get the same kickback?
I don't think they would. I think that they would be more accepted in our culture today because of all the talk and how we need to be more accepting of other religions and faiths. And that's the hypocrisy of it, is that many are allowed to do things that Christians are simply not allowed to do anymore.
Well, friends, again, Chris, you're right. You're right. And I want to say this before we go to break. Friends, we're facing in the United States of America phenomenal, phenomenal pressures to silence our voices, to no longer speak out boldly, courageously, lovingly, directly about what God's Word has to say on any variety of topics. And I believe it is nothing less than, as Chris has already said, it's the wicked one trying to stop God's Word from being disseminated throughout the United States of America. But it's much more than that. I believe it's simultaneous with that. There is an introduction into this country of that which is totally secular. And the secularization of our culture has been underway for some time, and we are now watching that reach perhaps its zenith. You couple that with the fact that Islam is being granted, I believe, favored status in the United States of America. There are so many within the current administration that are at the very least Muslim-friendly, if not strict adherence to that false ideology / religion. All of that coupled together, there is a growing, and what I believe, apart from a revival from Almighty God, there's going to be an increasing intensity of persecution against the Church of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Chris, when you and I were in Bible college, and by the way, we did attend the same Bible college, not at the same time, but Chris, I would have never in my wildest dreams imagined that we would be facing what we're facing in America today. I never imagined in my wildest dreams that you would face what you faced for handing out copies of the scripture.
I would agree with that totally.
Well, friends, we're talking with Pastor Chris Edwards. We'll be talking a little bit more with him following the break. And I want to encourage you to come back following this break. We're going to talk about what we can do, what we should do in response to the persecution that's growing and the discrimination that's growing against Christianity, the Bible, the name Jesus Christ, the scriptures, and anything to do with the Judeo-Christian belief system. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these special messages.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He left Yale for 4 years to fight in the Revolutionary War. After graduation, he became a lawyer and taught school in New York. Dissatisfied with the children's spelling books, he wrote the famous Blue-Backed Speller, which sold over 100 million copies. After 26 years of work, he published the first American Dictionary of the English Language. His name, Noah Webster, who died this day, May 28, 1843. He wrote, "All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
"Without God, liberty will not last," a quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, your host, and we're talking with Chris Edwards and talking about his recent incident of passing out Gideon Bibles in a middle school in the Northwest United States. Chris, let me just ask you this as we're in the final segment. Where does everything stand with you and with the Gideons relative to the distribution of Bibles? How did you guys resolve this situation that occurred out there?
Well, very simply, we all carry this letter from a lawyer representing the Gideons. And because of that letter and because of really what the officials already know, that we have a right to be there on the public sidewalk, nothing else happened. There was no reporting to the police or anybody coming out trying to force us to leave. So I think it was just a scare tactic. Personally, and obviously the animosity and outright hatred for handing out the scriptures to kids and trying to tell them what God's word says.
Chris, let me ask you this. This incident that you described, did it happen just at one school, or I'm assuming that you probably went to multiple schools over the course of the distribution time, and did this just happen at one school, or did you get this kind of response from several locations?
Well, this was the only school that I've went to so far with the Gideon men to hand out Bibles, but they informed me that this is kind of a regular type of thing at many of the schools that they hand out Bibles at. So I imagine as I continue to hand out Bibles, I'll experience more of this. And, you know, the Bible says all they that are godly shall suffer persecution, so we kind of laughed a little bit. We said that this was maybe that we're doing the right thing. We know we're doing the right thing by handing out God's word, and Satan's not happy about it at all.
You know, Chris, my dad, who pastored for 42 years, said to me, he said, son, if the wicked one is kicking you in the seat of the pants, at least you know you're out in front. And so there's a lot of truth to that. So if you're experiencing some persecution, you know you're doing the right thing. I want to read a statement by our 40th president, Ronald Reagan. And friends, I want you to listen to this very, very carefully. And this is a direct quote. Ronald Reagan said this, quote, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in our bloodstream. It, religious freedom, must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States of America, where men were free." Chris, that's quite a statement, is it not?
What a great statement. What a great statement. I was just going to share with the listeners some things that we need to be doing on a regular basis as Christians. And I think the first thing we need to do is very obviously is be in prayer, praying for our leaders, praying for other Christians out there that are suffering great persecution. We need to encourage them. When they do take a stand, one of the things that I was able to do was send a couple emails out to the Sweet Cakes Bakery owners, Melissa and Aaron Klein, when everything happened with them, and just try to let them know we're praying for them, want to encourage them, and I'm sure they received a lot of that across the country.
Hey, Chris, you got a response back, if I'm not mistaken. You got a response back from Melissa. If you've got that handy, I'd love for you to read it to our audience.
Yeah, just at the end of April, I had sent her an email, let her know, due to the recent ruling of the judge, a judgment of $135,000 that they had to pay. I just wanted to let her know we're praying for and to encourage her and her husband. And her response to me was, God bless you. Thank you so much. We have lately been having churches ask us to come and speak. She said that we feel God putting it on our hearts to reach out to the Christian community and get them to wake up and encourage our fellow Christians to stand, because the blessings you see from the Lord are amazing. So here she is being an encouragement to me with all they're going through, and we know that God's going to take care of them and use this in a mighty way across the country, and he has already, to help Christians to stand up and speak out while we still can without being put in jail for it. But we just need to get involved, Brother Dave. I find that many times we as Christians, we talk about the problems and get upset about it, but we don't do much to get out there and to make a difference. And that's something that I'm seeking to do, is to get involved more, to educate people. And really, you know this, the key is to get the gospel out to as many people as we can, as much as we can, as long as we can.
And, you know, Chris, you're 100% correct. And, of course, my calling is not to be primarily a radio talk show host, though I love this and I love the medium. But my calling primarily is an evangelist. And for about 31 years now, I've crisscrossed the United States and literally around the globe. In England, France, Belgium, Scotland, Wales, Canada, Mexico, West Indies, Africa, and have proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Chris, you're 100% correct. The answer to all of this, first and foremost, is a passionate love for and a clarion declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what will change men's hearts. And unless men's hearts change, ultimately, nothing is going to change long term. However, in addition to that, I'm a citizen of two countries. My citizenship spiritually is in heaven, so I have a divine obligation there, but I also have a citizenship in the United States of America. And so, Chris, I have a divine obligation, as do all believers, to speak up, to stand up, and to protect our religious liberties. And so, you know, that's something obviously we need to be involved in. Let me just read this, Chris, and I'd love to get your comment on it. The statement was made by Martin Niemöller, and I know you probably know the name. He was a prominent Protestant pastor who emerged during Adolf Hitler's years as an outspoken public foe of Hitler. He spent the latter 7 years of the Nazi rule in a concentration camp for his outspokenness. But here's what he said. It's a well-known statement. He said, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Chris, if we don't speak up, if we don't, number one, use the religious liberty that we have been graciously given by God, protected by our United States Constitution, if we don't use the liberty, we lose it. Is that not correct?
Oh, that is absolutely correct. And it's so many times we think, well, that's the other guy, that's the other person, and it doesn't affect us. But it is coming right in to where we live very soon. It already has happened in our churches, and it's going to happen to us as individuals, as Christians, as citizens. And we need to stand up and speak out while we still can. And yes, that is so important.
Well, Chris, I want to say this. I'm so thankful for Christian radio, so thankful for stations like WFYL that will put programming like this on, which is a clarion call to the Church of Jesus Christ. And Chris, I want to thank you so much, my friend. You have been a co-laborer with me for about 18 years. I want to say it publicly because it's the truth. I love you, brother. You have been a phenomenal support to me. You have been like an Aaron or a Hur to me, lifting up my hands for these 18 years that we've been involved in ministry together. And I'm so thankful for you. So thankful for your stand along with the Gideons there in the Northwest. Brother, continue what you're doing. Ratchet up your efforts. Keep a joyful countenance and a joyful heart like you always have, but stand unequivocally for the gospel, for the truth of the Word of God. And I stand with you, my friend. Again, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me today on your show. Take care.
You bet. Well, friends, this is Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler as well, and we want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow. And Dr. Gary Dahl, Sam Rohrer will be back, and we look forward to joining with you at that time. Have a great day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohrer, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.